This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachel. Been a tumultuous week for people in power across the state of North Carolina. Two North Carolina lawmakers have doubled down against public allegations. One accused of sexual harassment on multiple counts, the other accused of using his political sway for personal profit. And in Asheville, police chief there has announced that she will resign if asked. One of her former officers was just arrested on felony assault charges after an incident that occurred last August, and it finally came to light. We are doing a news roundup today, starting in Raleigh, where Democratic State Representative Dwayne Hall has denied allegations of sexual harassment. WUNC Capitol reporter Jeff DeBeery spoke with Hall and joins me now. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Tell us about this story now. Dwayne Hall is embroiled in these allegations. What's the story?
A couple of stories came from NC Policy Watch a week ago, Wednesday and Thursday. These stories talk about a pattern of behavior from the three-term lawmaker from Wake County, Dwayne Hall. He's a Democrat, as you mentioned. Persistent sexual innuendo, two incidents of forcible kissing. And immediately, as part of the original story, there were calls on Hall to resign from leading Democrats within the House caucus, from the governor, Roy Cooper, who's a friend of Hall's. And mum was the word for several days from Hall Sunday night. And I had been persistent with calls, texts, and emails. And then on Sunday night, Hall gave me a text, said he was ready to talk. We had a brief phone conversation.
And here's a little bit of what he told you.
The father of my ex-girlfriend is the executive director of NC Policy Watch. They worked on this story for months and released it on the last day of primary filing with unnamed sources. They have a journalistic obligation to disclose those personal conflicts, but did not. There's a big difference between reporting a story and creating a story.
Democratic State Representative Dwayne Hall speaking with WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery, who's with me. Now, a couple of things
we
need to
unpack that a little bit, right?
Yeah, we have to qualify some of that, right? Because it's not, strictly speaking, accurate.
We do. So the story came Wednesday, the 28th of February. That was the day where candidate filing ended at noon. This story dropped about 1:30, 1:40 that day. So the story did not come before the end of filing. It came after the end of filing. Were people aware? Were there rumors within the political sphere that it was coming? Yes, but it did not come until after. As for that relationship, young woman's name is Megan Glazier. Her father is Rick Glazier, who was a colleague of Hall's in the North Carolina House. That relationship ended months ago, I believe within the past year. One of Hall's gripes is that that relationship should have been disclosed. Now, that is a valid question. I think that's a journalistic question, but that question may very well have nothing to do with the validity of these allegations and where this conversation goes, right?
There were multiple accounts within carried in the report itself. And Hall, in addition to calling into question the ethics of the reporting here, has in fact denied the charges.
He has denied the charges. He has also said he will not step down. He's leaving this up to the voters in House District 11, which is part of Wake County, a fairly blue-leaning district. And as of now, he will be he'll be a candidate on May 8th during the primary.
And will there be primary challenges?
There are two primary challenges. For Hall, both of them are women. One, not much known about her. Her name's Allison Dahl. Another, Heather Matore, says that she's gotten into this race motivated to do something following the shooting in Parkland, Florida. She also was a name that came up during a murder trial 7 years ago. She was having a relationship with a man who was married. That man, a Cary man, was convicted of murder. So all sorts of dynamics in this race.
All right, Hall not stepping down. But meanwhile, a number of high-profile Democrats in the state have asked that he resign from his office.
Absolutely. Roy Cooper, among them, Darren Jackson, who's the leading House Democrat. And there are a lot of calls. Some have been renewed calls with some more force and gusto behind them. So this is clearly a fracture within the Democratic Party, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Let's move to the Republican Party. Tim Moore, the most powerful man in the Republican in the North Carolina House of Representatives, accused of using his influence to avoid dealing with costly environmental regulations at some property that he owned. What's going on?
Tim Moore, Republican from Cleveland County, which is west of Charlotte, owned a bit of property in Chatham County. So this complaint alleges that in August, 4 years ago, there was a department inspector from the state who issued a violation notice to this LLC that Moore owns because evidently tanks on this property, it was an old poultry property, hadn't been registered properly and needed to be closed. The allegation here comes from a Washington-based group and says that Moore wanted to push back some of the possible fines and some of the reviews that were taking place of this property in 2014 and in 2015. And there was an initial report that came from an inspector that says it was unlikely they were going to be able to give him a 90-day extension. Well, then he did get a 90-day extension. And this was at a time when there was a Republican in the executive mansion. Moore was able to get extension on some of these environmental issues that were playing out. He sold the property in September of 2016 for a return on investment of about 647%. I don't know what modifications happened to the property, but he bought it for $85,000. He sold it for $550,000. So he made a significant profit on it. Then a couple of months later, of course, the Republican governor did lose his seat, and there is now a Democrat in office, which is to say that there is a different party that oversees the Department of Environmental Quality.
Right. Strictly speaking, Tim Moore doesn't have direct control over DEQ. The governor does. When these charges came up and the fines would have been levied, a Republican governor who is, you know, basically the boss, yeah, the polls were not looking good, as a matter of fact, for Pat
McCrory at that point, right.
McCrory at the time, that was in September, that's when he sold it. And what does Moore say about all of this?
Moore calls this a meritless election year political ploy. In which I would just note, I spoke to a couple of conservatives yesterday, two of whom said to me, this may very well be an election year political ploy, but we don't know yet whether or not it's meritless.
All right, we'll find out. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Jeff, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
A former Asheville police officer has been arrested on felony assault charges. The body cam footage that put him in jail has citizens outraged. Matt Bush is news director at Blue Ridge Public Radio, has been following the story all week, and he joins us now from Asheville. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome. Thanks for having me on, Frank.
Take us back to the night of August 24th, 2017, when this begins. Johnny Germain Rush is on his way home from work. What happens then?
So he is walking in the South Slope area of Asheville, which is right down the hill from the main downtown area that's full of the restaurants and breweries and places that make Asheville such a popular destination. He's walking home after a 13-hour shift. He is stopped by some Asheville police officers. An officer of in training gets out of the car and tells him that Johnny Rush, he was jaywalking across the street, across Short Cox Avenue. He tells the officer to stop harassing him or just to, you know, do what he has to do. He is then cuffed, but then he starts, the officer who was in the car, the regular officer on duty, Officer Chris Hickman, gets out of the car, and then he starts beating Johnny Rush and then hits him and shocks him with a stun gun.
Here it is, some of the footage from the body cam, which was released only because it was leaked, because the legislature would have kept this locked up owing to its law. The fact is it was leaked to the press. Here's the body cam footage from back in August.
White face off, face is funny. You know what's funny is you're going to get up hardcore. Get on the ground. Get on the ground, right? Put your hands on your back. Put your hands on your back. Put your hands on your back. Put it behind your back. Now, stop. Put it behind your back.
Rush, put your hand behind your back.
Rush, put your hand behind your back.
I can't breathe. Johnny Germain Rush, arrested for jaywalking in Asheville, North Carolina. That was in August. The officer who arrested him and beat him is Chris Hickman. He's in jail on assault charges now. But the fact is that this footage didn't come out until much later, right? Tell us more about that, Matt.
So it did not come out until last Wednesday when the Asheville Citizen-Times, who the footage had been given to, published it. And again, part of that you mentioned, the reason for that is that police body cam footage in the state of North Carolina is not public record. So the only reason this became public and that we all know about this now was that it was given to the Asheville Citizen-Times, who published it.
All right. And what does the police chief say about all of this? Why did it take so long for anything to happen? Because we know that Hickman actually resigned, but that wasn't until just recently.
Sure. What happened when a lot of this came out this week, once this came out on Monday night, the Asheville City Council voted to release a lot of personnel records that it had to actually convene and vote in a special meeting to do so. So what happened was after the incident occurred, Officer Hickman, the following day, was asked to turn in his gun and badge and did, and then was not on the street. The sort of internal look at this went through into January, and then at a meeting on January 5th, Chief Tammy Hooper was preparing to fire Chris Hickman for this incident, and he resigned before she could do that. A formal criminal investigation by the City Police Department started 2 weeks later. Finished yesterday when the charges were announced by the Buncombe County District Attorney. And it was that length of time in between there that really is what has particularly the African-American community in Asheville so upset that it took 6 months for the incident to come to light, and it took more than 4 months until Officer Hickman resigned from the force.
Yeah, and what's disturbing is it may never have come to light had someone not risked breaking the law by leaking this tape, right?
Correct. And, you know, initially at the beginning of the week, both the police chief and the district attorney here said there could be an investigation into the leak of the tape to the Citizen Times. They now say at this meeting that was held during this week, the police chief said there is no current investigation into that. But that, as I was talking to some people this morning, doesn't mean there still could not be one. That could it potentially still occur. Yeah. But the city police are not currently investigating that leak.
The police chief says she may resign. Tell us about that.
So this was at a meeting. It was regularly scheduled on Wednesday night of the Citizens Police Advisory Committee in Asheville. And during that, there was a lot of anger and frustration on full display. We can get into that a bit further, but a lot of the questions, and one directly was to the chief, would she resign? And she said she would if asked, if that made the situation better. She is not. 5 of the 7 members of City Council have stated their support for her. That includes the mayor. So...
All right, Matt, I want to ask you to hang on the line for us. We'll continue our conversation with Matt Bush at Blue Ridge Public Radio on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned. This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. My guest, Matt Bush, news director at Blue Ridge Public Radio. He spent much of the last week following the story of former Asheville police officer arrested for assaulting an unarmed black man accused of jaywalking and trespassing. The arrest happened in August of last year. That's when the beating took place. And that police officer has resigned, been arrested. And Matt, you attended a meeting last night, a public. Tell us a little bit more about it, because we have some tape of that meeting. I want to actually play a clip from the meeting to give you to give everybody a sense of the emotion that was on display at the meeting. Let's listen.
So, why do we have to use this format? Exactly, not the correct format. You have a lot of anger in this room. This is not the format.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about that that hearing, Matt. What was going on?
So at that, the police chief, Tammy Hooper, was on stage and was about to start kind of going through the timeline of how the officer was investigated. Now, that had been reported in the local media, Citizen Times and ourselves and others. And the city council had, you know, voted to release these personnel records, which showed all of this. But at that point, people just didn't want to listen to that. They really wanted to let their frustration with the situation be known, and it touches on so many of the issues that are in the city of Asheville right now. And that's really where this started. And then for 4 hours or so, it was people getting up and speaking and looking at, you know, talking to the committee. There were a few city council members in attendance. The mayor was there and the police chief there, really voicing the frustration that, you know, Asheville prides itself on a very progressive reputation. And that there were some reforms that maybe were taking hold within the police department. But, you know, in one case, one of the people said, you know, we're all the way back at square one now with this particular incident, because whatever progress may have been made has been undone by the fact, you know, this officer, it took 4 months for this officer to resign, and it took 6 months for anyone to know that this had occurred publicly.
Yeah, and again, against the law. We have to reiterate the fact that
yes,
North
it
Carolina
is against the law
state
to leak.
Law
yeah.
would have kept that video coverage secret. Tell me about, because we, you know, you talk about the progress, and the Asheville police had just sort of announced and publicized the fact that they were using 60% less force, right?
That came a day before the leak of the video. That report, though, it was interesting, and I spoke to the reporter who broke the story, Joel Burgess at the Citizen Times. He noted in that report, we had both read it, but he had noted this and I didn't, that there was one outstanding incident within that report that they did not include. And it seems all fingers are pointing that this outstanding incident the report didn't include was this one that came to light the following day.
All right. The FBI is involved in this, but not the SBI. Am I right about that?
Yes. So the SBI could now. They are now reconsidering whether to look at this. Now, the State Bureau of Investigation is the one that usually handles incidents like this that involve officer, use of force and all that. But because of the length of time it took for the city to tell them that this was going on, the SBI declined at first to take the investigation. Now, again, they are reconsidering doing that. The FBI is doing its own investigation. They are undoubtedly looking to see if Johnny Rush's civil rights were violated by the police in this incident.
Meanwhile, it's the local district attorney that has filed these charges against the officer. So all of that is going on. Matt, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you, Frank.
Matt Bush, news director at Blue Ridge Public Radio.